the same feeling for them that my benefactor did. He was a serene but thoroughly passionate man who lavishly gave away everything he possessed, including his energy. He loved his allies. To him, it was no sweat to allow the allies to use his energy and materialize themselves. There was one in particular that could even take a grotesque human form. Don Juan went on to say that, since he was not partial to allies, he had never given me a real taste of them as his benefactor had done to him while he was still recovering from the wound in his chest. It all began with the thought that his benefactor was a strange man. Having barely escaped from the clutches of the petty tyrant, Don Juan suspected that he had fallen into another trap. His intention was to wait a few days to get his strength back and then run away when the old man was not home. But the old man must have read his thoughts, because one day, in a confidential tone, he whispered to Don Juan that he ought to get well as quickly as possible so that the two of them could escape from his captor and tormentor. Then, shaking with fear and impotence, the old man flung the door open, and a monstrous, fish-faced man came into the room as if he had been listening behind the door. He was a grayish-green, had only one huge, unblinking eye, and was as big as a door. Don Juan said that he was so surprised and terrified that he passed out, and it took him years to get out from under the spell of that fright. "Are your allies useful to you, Don Juan?" I asked.
"That's a very difficult thing to decide," he said. "In some way, I love the allies my benefactor gave me. They are capable of giving back inconceivable affection. But they are incomprehensible to me. They were given to me for companionship in case I am ever stranded alone in that immensity that is the eagle's emanations."
Chapter 7. The Assemblage Point. Don Juan discontinued his explanation of the mastery of awareness for several months after my bout with the Allies. One day, he started it again. A strange event triggered it. Don Juan was in northern Mexico. It was late afternoon. I had just arrived at the house he kept there, and he immediately had me shift into heightened awareness. And I had instantly remembered that Don Juan always came back to Sonora as means of renewal. He had explained that a Nagual, being a leader who has tremendous responsibilities, has to have a physical point of reference, a place where an amenable confluence of energies occurs. The Sonoran desert was such a place for him. On entering into heightened awareness, I had noticed that there was another person hiding in the semi-darkness inside the house. I asked Don Juan if Genaro was with him. He replied that he was alone, that what I had noticed was one of his allies, the one that guarded the house. Don Juan then made a strange gesture. He contorted his face as if he were surprised or terrified. And instantly, the frightening shape of a strange man appeared at the door of the room where we were. The presence of the strange man scared me so much that I actually felt dizzy, and before I could recuperate from my fright, the man lurched at me with a chilling ferocity. As he grabbed my forearms, I felt a jolt of something quite like a discharge of an electric current. I was speechless, caught in a terror I could not dispel. Don Juan was smiling at me. I mumbled and groaned, trying to voice a plea for help, while I felt an even greater jolt. The man tightened his grip and tried to throw me backward on the ground. Don Juan, with no hurry in his voice, urged me to pull myself together and not fight my fear, but roll with it.
"Be afraid without being terrified," he said.
Don Juan came to my side and, without intervening in my struggle, whispered in my ear that I should put all my concentration on the midpoint of my body. Over the years, he had insisted that I measure my body to the hundredth of an inch and establish its exact midpoint, lengthwise as well as in width. He had always said that such a point is a true center of energy in all of us. As soon as I had focused my attention on that midpoint, the man let go of me. At that instant, I became aware that what I had thought was a human being was something that only looked like one. The moment it lost its human shape to me, the ally became an amorphous blob of opaque light. It moved away. I went after it, moved by a great force that made me follow that opaque light. Don Juan stopped me. He gently walked me to the porch of his house and made me sit down on a sturdy crate he used as a bench. I was terribly disturbed by the experience, but even more disturbed by the fact that my paralyzing fear had disappeared so fast and so completely. I commented on my abrupt change of mood. Don Juan said that there was nothing strange about my volatile change, and that fear did not exist as soon as the glow of awareness moved beyond a certain threshold inside man's cocoon. He then began his explanation. He briefly outlined the truths about awareness he had discussed, that there is no objective world, but only a universe of energy fields which seers call the eagle's emanations, that human beings are made of the eagle's emanations and are in essence bubbles of luminescent energy. Each of us is wrapped in a cocoon that encloses a small portion of these emanations. That awareness is achieved by the constant pressure that the emanations outside our cocoons, which are called emanations at large, exert on those inside our cocoons. That awareness gives rise to perception, which happens when the emanations inside our cocoons align themselves with the corresponding emanations at large. The next truth is that perception takes place, he went on, because there is in each of us an agent called the assemblage point that selects internal and external emanations for alignment. The particular alignment that we perceive as the world is the product of the specific spot where our assemblage point is located on our cocoon. He repeated this several times, allowing me time to grasp it. Then he said that in order to corroborate the truths about awareness, I needed energy. I've mentioned to you, he continued, that dealing with petty tyrants helps seers accomplish a sophisticated maneuver. That maneuver is to move their assemblage points. He said that for me to have perceived an ally meant that I had moved my assemblage point away from its customary position. In other words, my glow of awareness